Welcome back to Boldly Though, the only Star Trek podcast that promises, that's where I trip myself up, to never drop you off a cliff. I'm Science Officer Kelly.
That's a pretty big promise, Kelly. I guess since we live in Florida and we don't have any cliffs, we might be able to manage. I'm Security Officer Karen, and yes, I'm dealing with a sore throat today.
No listeners are sitting at home accusing you, and if they are, you can't hear them. Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried. I just think I sound funny. Do I not sound funny to you? I just sound funny in my head?
You sound like mildly different to my ear.
Okay. Then never mind. I'm fine.
It's too late. I'm not editing this.
Oh, okay. You want to start over?
No, I don't. I want to keep my inability to say words and your beaten down admittance that you're ill.
There you go. Still your words. Still my illness.
Yep.
Hey, me and Tuvok, we got something in common this week.
I guess that's true. This week, we're talking about Voyager. Season 3, Episode 2, it's called Flashback. And when this episode started, I remember saying very confidently that this was to celebrate the 35th anniversary of Star Trek. And boy, for the first 10 minutes or whatever, I was like, was I wrong? Is this a different episode?
Yeah, I saw that note.
Did I fuck this up?
Yeah.
I didn't. But it had me worried for really longer than you might expect.
Yes, because first
We'll get our cold open.
First, we're focusing on the mess hall.
Right. Neelix is trying to invent new juice. And Tuvok is not into it. Neelix is like, please try this mostly orange juice drink.
And he's like,
no.
He's like, your experiments don't turn out that well. No, thank you.
It is mostly orange juice.
Where did we get these oranges from, Kelly?
I don't know. He grew them. I don't know.
No. I think they got them somewhere.
I don't know.
Eggs.
He has a whole story about the eggs. Yeah. But Tuvok does eventually take a sip and says, impressive work, which I guess is good.
No, that means this is very good. Impressive. Yeah, impressive. That's a strong, big word.
Well, he could have been like, impressive. You made orange juice 50 times more disgusting than it already is. Like, you know, but there was never a but. Didn't drop.
I think he really enjoyed it. Although he took a very tiny sip and didn't touch it again.
Yeah, he takes a very tiny sip. Neelix is like, now I will cook you breakfast. And Tuvok basically is like, I'd rather die. Like, Tuvok does not want breakfast. And I'm like, Tuvok, just let Neelix cook you fucking breakfast. He just wants you to eat eggs.
No. He was fine with the eggs. It was the fact that he had to hear all about the eggs. I would prepare to eat my breakfast without hearing this life story, please.
Too bad. Zone out. This guy just wants to make you breakfast. And you're like, Mr. Neelix, I think your culture is stupid. Because it turns out it's a Talaxian thing.
Yep.
To tell the history of a meal, which is interesting.
It is interesting.
And then there's a power surge, eggs are ruined.
And his mom was a professional at it.
And he gets kind of sad when he talks about his mom, because it's like, I'm never going to fucking see her again. I'm going to Earth, I guess. Also, she might be dead. I don't remember what the status of Neelix's family is.
Well, it was just, and you know, it was this big story, and it was eggs and dill. And something. That was it.
Something
there was
else.
Three ingredients, and he's trying to scramble it up. And yeah, the whole little stove thing he's cooking on envelops his pan in fire.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I said the stove blows up.
Your breakfast has been destroyed. And it turns out Tuvok knows why. There's been like weird power. They're checking some shit.
Before you go that far, his mother says, this is what my mother would call a disaster. I think is what
R.I.P. Mama Neelix, probably. We love you. But Tuvok's like, oh, they've been having power surges because they're checking this thing. And then engineering's like, hey, we've been having power surges because we're checking that thing. How you guys doing? It's like, fine, breakfast is ruined, but fine. And then there's like another call, and it's like, Tuvok, Neelix, come up to the bridge. We have a nebula to talk about. As often happens on Star Trek, we have a nebula to talk about. This is a big old Cerulean Nebula?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. It's Captain's Log, Stardate 50126.4. It's a gaseous anomaly that contains ceruleum.
Yeah, and ceruleum is an energy source that they can harvest.
It's highly combustible.
So they can blow the fuck up, I guess, is the idea.
In fact, they all come up with ideas, and Neelix says, oh, I can use it in my cooking. It might improve the cooking time. And B'Elanna says, or you'll blow up the mess galley.
You'll die.
Oh, we should really put it as a warp conduit, warp plasma conduit. And then Tuvok's like, oh, it'll boost deflector shield efficiency. Everybody comes up with an idea right away how to use it.
Chakotay's like, I guess everyone went to ceruleum school and knows what it's good for. Neelix has been called here because Janeway's like, so I need a place to put it. We're going to put it in cargo bay, whatever. And he's like, my pantry. And I'm like, I thought this was an episode to celebrate the 35th anniversary of Star Trek. But is this an episode about Neelix getting fucking pushed around and not being able to cook the way he wants? And if it is, why can't I remember it? Surely I'd remember the trials and tribulations of Neelix Chef if there was an episode about it, all about it. But it's like, all right, we got to get rid of the pantry. And he's like, fine. R.I.P. my pantry and my mom. And then we look at the nebula, and it's a big blue fuck-off thing. And Tuvok is instantly having problems. His hands are shaking, and he's freaking out.
They ask him a question, and they say, are you okay? He says, I don't think so.
I'm dizzy.
Oh, and
sick bay?
And I'm disoriented, and permission to go to sick bay. And I wrote down, shouldn't someone have accompanied him?
Yeah, no one goes with him. Why not beam him? But they don't. They're just like, all right, have fun. Don't hit your head on any corners.
If I saw a Vulcan acting like that, I think I would escort him myself to sick bay. I think that's ridiculous that they just sent him by himself.
Yeah, and so he's having a fit and shaking and freaking out all by himself. No one is around. And he starts having flashbacks to holding on to a human child, a seemingly human child, over the edge of a cliff. And this girl's like, Tuvok, don't let me go, Tuvok. No, because he drops her. She goes, no. And it's like a weird green screen. And she's very flappy. And her hair and her dress. And let me tell you, dropping one kid off a cliff is a tragedy. Dropping like 20 off a cliff, kind of a comedy. We'll get there. I was howling by the time we got to the end of this episode about this poor kid going, no.
You were, huh? You're a terrible person.
The first time you're like, oh no. And then it just keeps happening and you're like, oh, that's a little funny.
Wow.
Listen, the episode gives me permission to laugh.
Sure,
we'll get
does.
There.
Sure it does.
Tuvok is also a child in this memory. And so he like falls on his back like a dead bug. And that's the music.
Well, and he dead bug with his eyes. I put eyes wild and mouth open. Yes, cue the music.
When we come back, he's in sick bay. Someone got him there, or he got himself there. No, who knows what?
Yeah, he stumbled in, and Kes came to him, and then he fell down.
Right. At no point is anyone like, hey, how's Tuvok doing?
Yeah,
presumably,
right.
He didn't lay like a bug in the hallway for that long. But he's just like, I'm bad. And then we see, like, the doctor is scanning him. Janeway has shown up.
Tell us about your vision.
Important. And he very calmly is like, I'm a kid. She's a kid. I drop her off a cliff.
I had an emotional response. Anxiety, fear, anger at myself for letting her fall.
And he goes, but also, important point, this never happened to me.
Yep.
This is not a thing I ever experienced. I don't know where this has come from. And the doctor's like, don't worry. It could be any one of this list of things.
Oh yeah.
Repressed memory, multiverse. Like it's a medical and sci-fi list of how you could get an extra memory.
Of like five or six things. Yeah. I should have written them down, but I didn't.
Yeah. But he's just like this or that or this or that. And Tuvok's like, great.
And he says,
well, I feel okay now.
Well, if you were human, I'd say you had a severe panic attack, but I'm
not
human.
Though.
No kidding.
Yeah. Great. I'm glad we're all mad at each other. Wear this monitor, please. And he's like, well, I feel okay enough to go back to work. It's like, all right, fair. Bye.
Yeah, just wear this so that if it happens again, it will record everything and we'll be alerted immediately.
Yeah. So he fucking goes back to work.
Well, actually, I don't know if he goes back to work, but yeah, you're free to go. And we see him go to his room.
Next we see him. Yeah, he's in his room. He's doing meditation blocks. He's got big blocks. And he's saying this thing about, like, how he's in control of the situation. And he's trying to build these blocks. And they're big old blocks.
Yeah, I've got that he's meditating not successfully.
Yeah, and the blocks fall down. He's like, ah, fuck. And Kes shows up. And she's like, what the hell's that? And he calls it the Kathira, which is a meditation aid. And she's like, oh, what's it look like when it's not a bunch of blocks on the table? And he's like, well, it's a reflection of the builder's state of mind. So it's different to every person and pretty much every time. And she's like, well, I'd like to see it when it's done. And he's like, great. And she's like, okay, bye. I get it. Don't worry, Tuvok, I get it. See you later.
Yeah, I did like it's a reflection of the builder's mind. Oh, the pieces are all over the table. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having a bad time. So then he tries to do it again.
And then we shift to the morning, I think.
Yes. So as soon as Tuvok had a freak out, Janeway was like, hey, Harry, check out the sensors. See if...
Well, first we have nebula. Chakotay and Tuvok walking to work together. And he says, right. How you feeling? He says, I'm more than adequate. You know, I am totally fine to work. He said, I wasn't worried about you working. I was worried about you. And he says, I spent 14 hours meditating.
Take a nap,
Tuvok. To try to figure out where that memory came from, and I couldn't find out.
Well, great.
Yeah, there's nothing unusual showing for the nebula.
Right. Didn't do anything weird.
And then Tuvok says, well, checked for cloaked ships.
Yeah, we're awfully close to Klingon space.
Yeah.
And they're all like... Huh? What's wrong with you? Yeah. No, we're not.
Yeah, look at me, B'Elanna says.
If we were, that'd be great. It means we're home. And he's like, that was weird. Sorry about that. No idea why I would have said that. Talk to y'all later. Except he won't talk to them later because on their little computer, he sees the nebula again and has another cliff freak out.
If he collapses again.
And I'm like, oh, it's him looking at it. That's what did it. Close your eyes, Tuvok. It takes them longer to figure this out. Back in sick bay, the doctor's like, that was bad. I think it's a repressed memory. I think Tuvok did drop a child off a cliff one time, and he's repressing it. And it turns out that a Vulcan repressed memory will literally kill you.
It's called Tolokan schema.
Right.
No, schism.
Right. It causes literal brain damage. You guys might be too repressed across the board if this is what's happening.
The brain might. And he said the mind could lobotomize itself. And I went,
yeah.
Wow.
Real bad. And then meanwhile, I'm looking at my watch going, celebration of the 35th anniversary of Star Trek?
Oh, I wish I'd been there to see this.
I'm like, Mom's going to give me such shit and I'll have earned it. Janeway, of course, is like, what can we do to fix this problem? And it's like, there's not like treatment. Usually they mind meld with a family member and work through it together like that. And good thing you're here. He has a request to ask.
Yeah, I'm the closest thing to family he's got here.
Yeah, all three people in sickbay, the doctor, Janeway, and Tuvok are all like, well... You're it for family, basically. Like, you're closest. Tuvok does say that he thought about talking to the other Vulcans on the ship, but then he's just like, I don't trust any of them the way I trust you. Like, this is a very intimate thing.
Right.
And I trust you more than any other person on the ship. And it's like, oh, that's nice.
I kind of went, that's not saying a lot, really.
Well, wow. I don't trust anybody. They're best friends.
I don't trust anybody on this ship.
If you were on this ship and you had to mind meld with somebody, who would you mind meld with?
Oh, I don't know. It wouldn't matter. I'm not doing intimate things with people. That, you know, anybody mind meld with me, Kelly, they'd let it go in like 3 seconds. Oh, shit. Oh, get out of her head.
No.
That's too scary.
I'd mind meld with you.
Are we both on the ship?
In this scenario, sure. Oh, okay. Well, but then that's family. Then the episode would be over.
Then I would definitely mind meld with you.
Anyway, I'd mind meld with Tom Paris. I trust that idiot.
And Harry, I would mind meld with Harry Kim, even though he's not the right one.
He would get in your brain. He'd be like, wrong one, wrong one, wrong one. He'd be like, we're like a half hour different. Fuck you. I'm not helping you. Your brain can kill itself. Oh, I
know. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was sick. I thought this was just, you know, we're just mind melding for fun.
No Vulcan. All right, I take it back. One Vulcan mind melds for fun, and his name is Mr. Spock, and he's not here.
Well, that's what I'm going to be, the super cool mind melder. I'm just doing it for fun.
Okay. But then you're not doing it because you don't trust anybody.
All right, whatever, fine.
No, it's, hey, listen. You can tell. You'd be like, yeah, I only do it for, like, the real cool kids. And then they're like, it's been 7 seasons, and she hasn't mind melded with one of us. Are we not cool enough?
That's right, you're not. You're Get out of here.
Yeah. Tom Paris. I think he'd keep a secret. He doesn't seem like he would, but I think he would.
Oh, yeah. No, in that scenario, I think, what do you mean he doesn't seem like he keeps a secret?
I think if people, like, walked past him quickly in a hallway and saw him out of the corner of their eye, they'd be like, well, that fucker won't keep a secret. But that's the thing. We know Tom, and he would.
Oh, okay. I agree.
He is more responsible than he seems.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's Mr. Yeah, he thinks he's Mr. Cool Kid. He doesn't know cool from shit, man.
Wow, their brain's saying I'm not cool? This is so rude. I came in here to help you.
Again, I'm giving a personal opinion. I'm not in a mind meld with these people.
Right. Also, can you not feel that I like you and also think you're not cool? Like,
yeah, it's fine. You're a poser, dude.
And that's what I like about you. No, wait, come back into my brain. Anyway.
He'd never speak to us again. You'd be so hurt.
It's a rough ride home from the Delta Quadrant.
It's my mother, please. Don't take it out on me.
Yeah. So the whole idea of this medical mind meld is that they will help you through the memory, help you process it.
Yes, you're going to be my pylora.
Right.
My guide and my counselor.
But no one will be able to see you. I made the note, you're going to be a real ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah, exactly. And no, you're going to help me retrieve the memory, relive the memory, and process the memory and get it out in the open so it's no longer repressed.
Right. They need some of those Vulcan healers we had in those books we read.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they need 6 or 7 of those guys around here to help everybody out. And so it's like, all right, let's go to the Tuvok, take us to the cliff. Let's sit in these office chairs.
Yeah, it was so cute. But did you notice how they're sitting? They're sitting face. We've seen them. I don't know if you were with me, but Bill and I, when we used to travel, there was, it's called a kissing chair. So it's not a kissing chair, but the chairs are facing opposite ways and kind of touching so that you can't get too close. You know, I don't know. You can't hug. But you can see each other. I don't remember what that was called now. But that's how they do it. The chairs are put in a very specific space. And I thought that was cute.
I think that probably has to do with how close you have to be to each other to be on TV. Like, well, just fit within the frame.
Yeah, but you're also mind melding. Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable if you have to lean too much. So, yeah.
Got to get your hands in there. But they are truly, later we see them, they are just office chairs. Like, you could walk into an Office Depot still and get two of those.
Yeah.
They have wheels. Not safe for a shaky ship.
Good
boats on the ocean don't have Good wheels point. On them. They take the wheels off because they're just going to fucking roll around. So it's like, all right, take us to the cliff. And instead, they are on the bridge of a ship. And I'm like, oh, thank God, to celebrate the 35th anniversary of Star Trek. Because these people are wearing maroon turtleneck uniforms that you might recognize from the series of films, Star Trek, the original series. And very quickly up out of a puff of fog come two of our old friends. Rand is here and Sulu is here. And we are on the Excelsior, it turns out. Turns out we're here during Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, which was the last TOS movie. And Sulu was a captain in it. So,
okay.
That's where we are. We'll get there one day. It's a great movie. We're going to have a great time when we get there. This is like a weird mini prequel thing.
Is that... So you said that was Ensign Rand?
Yeah, she's not... Well, Yeoman Rand, but yes.
Yeah, Yeoman Rand. I did not recognize her.
Yeah, she's older, but it's Grace Lee Whitney.
Yeah, okay.
She's back.
I feel terrible. I didn't recognize her.
Well, she doesn't have the beehive hair. She's got like normal hair.
Well, thank God.
Later.
So dumb.
And Janeway's like, hey, Tuvok, quick question. Why are we here?
Well, before we get there. So, well, maybe you want to just fluff over it right now. But they appear on the ship. He's saying, yes, we're in a battle with the Klingons. But beyond that, if you're not paying attention to what they're saying, you hear Mr. Voltaire? Or Mr. Voltaine, get away from that station. One more second, and kablooey, something blows up.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Well, see, I watched it last night, and then I watched it this afternoon to take notes, and I noticed it very, instantly. I mean, as soon as they're in there, it's, you know, they're having their conversation, and off in the distance, I hear Tuvok yelling at the guy at the station. I went,
oh. Well, he did take them back right to the moment they needed it, turns out. They just didn't know it, and then they bounce around for 25 more minutes. And so it's like, why are we here? And he's like, I don't know. This is the Excelsior. That's Captain Sulu. This was my first deep space assignment. Mm-hmm. I'd been in Starfleet for like 2 months at this point. She's like, well, what's going on?
Well, there must be a reason your mind brought us here.
Yeah. So they like flashback.
So they're at Stardate 9521, about 80 years ago. Mm-hmm. And who are you fighting? We're fighting the Klingons. And that's when she mentions, oh, you thought we were in Klingon space back on Voyager. So maybe that's... You know,
it's connected somehow. Mm-hmm. This episode does a thing where we travel through time via edits because he can like jump throughout his memory. It's a cool little trick.
Yeah, it is.
But they like jump back to just like the hangout hall.
Yeah, she says, well, what were you doing? Yeah. And he said, oh, it started 3 days ago. So they go back 3 days.
Right. We were studying a gaseous anomaly. She's like, we were doing that.
A gaseous anomaly.
We were doing that. And so we see that Rand is telling them their assignments. And Tuvok is making tea for Sulu, and Rand basically calls him a suck-up.
And this was priceless, Kelly. If you could have seen Janeway's face while they're having this little conversation, because she's smiling at Rand the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then when Tuvok says, oh, I'm not trying to gain favor. I'm
trying to curry favor.
And then, of course, she makes that very stern and, you know, nodding face. Oh, of course I'm not. You know, the little facial expressions were priceless.
Yeah. This also, I want to point this out now. It happens throughout the episode, but especially in these early scenes, I think. Tim Russ, the guy who plays Tuvok, does a really fun bit because he's like talking to her because it's his memory. So he's Tuvok as we know him. But whenever he says things that he said back then, whenever he's memory Tuvok, and again, he's not like, there's not two of him on the screen. It's just him like switching between these. He does play Tuvok like so much younger. Okay. Just like in his voice and his mannerisms.
Inexperienced, yeah.
Yeah. It reads to me, at least, again, for most of this, when it's not a bunch of like actiony stuff happening, like really clearly. And I thought it was a really deft little touch. So he's like, I'm not trying to be a suck up. And Rand's like, uh-huh. And the scene is buttoned with Janeway looking at him saying, you never brought me tea.
And she walks away. She looks, she puts on the hurt face.
Yeah, but it's all fun. and so Tuvok brings Sulu the tea. Sulu's like, this rules. This delicious. Thank you so much.
I have to give you a promotion.
Yeah. And Tuvok's like, no, I didn't do it for that. And Sulu's like, if you're going to be on my ship, buddy, you're going to have to learn how to take a joke. And don't tell me Vulcans don't have a sense of humor because I know better. And I'm like, yeah, he does. And I'm pumping my fist. And then we have a weird little like sidebar where Janeway's like, I knew you had like a, you're kind of on your second tour of Starfleet. Why is none of this on your service record? I'm like, wait, none of this is on his service record? You didn't know about this? And I don't think we get an answer as to why it's not on his record.
No, we don't. But this was his first Starfleet career. He was 29 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's a baby as far as Vulcans go.
And as far as this mission goes, this is when the Klingon moon Praxis explodes.
Right. And then the Excelsior gets hit by a big energy wave. That's from Praxis exploding.
Yeah, and I think that happens right now. Yeah.
Yes, like right now. Like he says it and then it happens. I'm like, it could have just happened. And then we could have, someone could have been like, oh no, it's from Praxis. And you and Sulu could have been like, oh, Praxis. That's the plot of Star Trek VI.
Oh, okay. And there was okay. And so there's a bunch of...
Do you not remember Star Trek VI?
Honey, come on.
this isn't at all?
No.
Oh, which of the movies do you remember?
The whales.
Just that one?
Khan.
You remember Wrath of Khan? Okay. I mean, those are the two best ones, but yeah. 6 is also very good. It does involve the Klingon moon of Praxis exploding.
Praxis?
Praxis.
And there were so many consequences of that, including what led to the first Federation Klingon peace treaty, because of course the Klingons, according to all this, that's their source of energy is Praxis.
Yeah. This is the conclusion of the film Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, is the Federation Klingon peace treaty. It's a good movie.
Okay.
This episode's like, well, surely you remember Undiscovered Country, and you're at home like, no, I do not.
Well, that was back in 1996. I might have remembered it then when this aired. Sure.
Yeah, of course.
There's an energy wave, and the shields aren't working, and so Sulu yells, turn into the wave!
Yeah. So they manage the wave. They don't die. I don't remember how quickly they get the information that two Starfleet members have been arrested for the assassination of a Klingon chancellor.
I think we just jump again.
Yeah, Tuvok's like, anyway, like 10, 12 hours after that, turns out two guys were arrested. P.S. Those guys were Kirk and Bones, and they had to go to like Kronos to stand trial, and then they went to a prison planet. It's a whole thing. Watch the film. And Sulu hears this and goes, fuck that. I'm not leaving my friends on Rurapenthe. That place sucks. It's a prison moon. And everyone's like, yeah. Yep.
We're going on a rescue mission.
Everyone's like, yeah. And then Baby Tuvok is like, no, that's against the rules. And so he walks right up to Sulu and he's like, sir, that's against the rules. And Rand is like, oh my God, shut up. And Sulu's like, yeah, but like loyalty and stuff. And Tuvok's like, that's illogical. And Sulu's like, damn right it is.
And he says, now, Ensign, you're absolutely right. And Ensign, you're absolutely wrong.
Yes. And so Tuvok is the only one who's just like, well, I'm going to complain. And they're all like, fine, whatever. We don't care.
I'm going to help them. Let the regulations be damned.
And Bones. And then, hilariously to me, because this episode has a interesting relationship to the TOS era, Tuvok like steps back from this bit of his memory and Janeway goes, you did the right thing. And I'm like, did he? I mean, one, it's not like he did the wrong thing. This doesn't do anything. It's not like Sulu stopped, but it's like, Janeway, if two of your guys were on a prison planet, get them.
No, she wouldn't. She'd let them stay right there.
No,
these old timers, you know, they got their guns and their cowboy hats and they're walking funny and they're chewing tobacco.
It sounds like, hey, quick note, Tom Paris and Harry Kim assassinated a head of state. They're going to jail. You wouldn't be like, well, I guess they did it. Bye. Spoilers for plot, for basic whatevers. I don't remember why, but next episode, Tom Paris and Harry Kim go to jail.
Oh my gosh, so, really?
They do. It's called The Shoot, and I remember quite liking it.
Okay.
We'll see what's what. They do get thrown in a jail hole. They get thrown in a jail hole, and if I recall correctly, it's kind of gay. So, good episode.
Oh, excellent.
They have to approach Kronos. They got to do it secretly. And so they have to go through the Azure Nebula. And it shows up and it's like, oh, it looks like the blue cloud we're dealing with. And then guess what? He looked at a blue cloud and he remembers the
little
The little girl, and like Janeway sees it. No! And it breaks the mind meld. And they're both like, that was weird. But they're also both like, what's the connection between Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, and a girl falling off a cliff? What could it be? There has to be one. Your brain took us there. There are blue clouds. What is it? And so they like take a little break. And this is when Harry comes to be like, I've confirmed that cloud didn't fuck with Tuvok's brain at all. Maybe it was seeing it. Like, this is almost as close as they get to being like, I think it just might be visual. This is when she's like, oh, I've been reading Captain Sulu's logs. He's like, oh, Captain Sulu of the Excelsior, that's cool. And it's like, what are you learning? And she's like, nothing. He didn't put this in here. And Harry's like, oh,
yes.
He lied on his logs?
Scandalized, yes.
And she's like, yeah, you know, back in the day, they didn't have replicators or whatever better guns we have or, like, morals, I guess. Like, it's a weird mix of, like, they didn't have the technology we had. Their ships were so slow.
And
so they
space definitely must have seemed so big.
Yeah, they had little brains and big guns. Wow. Well, she's not quite that mean. But it is just like, thank God we're better now, and that's why we always follow the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, there are whole episodes of this show about whether or not you can and should follow the rules. But it's just like, but sometimes I think it would have been cool to be back there. And it's just like, it's a very strange way to treat this thing.
I thought
it's,
so too.
It's very like, thank God that, I mean, it's good it was there, but thank God it's behind us. But isn't it cool to revisit sometimes? And I'm like, I don't know, throw those two guys in a prison hole. Get on with it.
Yeah, we're going to see how by the book you are, lady.
Yeah, it's like, you're not by the, like, that's the whole point.
Well, you're out in the Gamma Quadrant. You can do what you want, quite frankly.
Yeah, you're in the, again.
Delta, sorry.
A lot of the plots are like, the Federation isn't here. I represent the Federation. What should I or should I not do? Like, how closely should I follow the rules? There's no one here to enforce them, and we gotta fucking get home. Like, I'm not here killing people. But
if I have to,
like, and then remember that one episode where, like, they could have gotten home real fast. And then that government was like, we can't share our technology with people who don't know about it. And they're just like, oh, that's the prime directive, but on us. And it sucks. Oh, no. Like, yeah, it's a very strange way to approach this thing that supposedly you're like paying fun homage to. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to mind meld again, because Tuvok's brain, you can just assume it's getting worse.
Yeah, well, they had to, the doctor had him unconscious. He said if he hadn't, right. Well, no, that's not now.
Right, but again, it just, you at home just assume that on the line graph of his brain, the line is just going down, yeah. Sort of continuously. And Janeway's like, okay, yeah. Real quick before we get there. Mm-hmm. Tell me what we're going to see. Instead of just seeing it, what if you tell me first? And it's like, sure. Klingons attacked us in the nebula. It's like, okay, well, can we skip that and go to the part where you drop a kid off a cliff? And Tuvok's like, I'm going to try. We'll see.
I am trying.
And they try again. And guess what? They don't make it to the fucking cliff. They instead make it to the bunks they share. And I get it. I was a little disappointed they weren't hallway bunks like on the Cerritos. They should have been. It is just a room with bunk beds in it. But I'm like, damn, they do make ensigns live in bunk beds. And it's his bunkmate,
Valtier.
Dimitri, what's his face?
Yep.
And he's like, I was fucking trying to sleep. And Dimitri.
Yeah, the captain sent us all to get some rest since we were probably, you know, going to have to see the Klingons soon.
Yeah. And Dimitri decided to be a chatterbox instead. And this guy's like,
Dimitri,
isn't this...
shut the fuck up.
He's like, isn't it more fun than, like, charting a nebula? And Tuvok's like, I hate fun. Fuck fun. Dimitri's like, what? Are you serious? And Tuvok gives him a whole speech about being, like, sick of the idea of fun. He's sick of humans.
Yes. Yes.
He's sick of human egocentrism where everyone is, it's like, well, you got him. You must like fun because humans like fun.
Well, no, you have to be like us.
Yes.
You have to be like us. You have to look like us. You have to do everything we do and you have to like it.
And Dimitri's like, all right, I was just trying to chat. I'll go to bed. Good night, Tuvok. And then.
Oh, and he does. He says, I've already decided to resign my commission when I. He tells Dimitri this.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to quit after we get home. And Dimitri's like, oh, man, all right. That's a bummer.
Your loss.
Yeah. And he's like, I'll go to sleep. And then Janeway's like, oh, no, do you really hate people? And Tuvok's like, listen, I was 29 and I was in a bad mood because I didn't want to join Starfleet. And my parents made me join Starfleet. And
well, they didn't really make me, but they pressured me. I didn't want to disappoint them.
Yeah, so I did it. And I'm like, this is bullshit. And he's like, but again, I didn't want to be there. So my attitude wasn't in the best place. Right, right. But Janeway's like, oh my God, is he going to say he hates me and the ship and everybody? And he's like, nah, I was 29, which is functionally a baby for Vulcans. And she's like, well, what happened? He goes, oh, I quit. For 50 years, I fucking quit. Yep. And we find out that he tried to do the Kolinar, which is a purging of all emotions, which we see a bit of in Star Trek The Motion Picture, the first movie. Because Spock's like, well, fuck these. But it doesn't. He gets distracted. He leaves. And Tuvok, likewise. Like, Tuvok does treat it like he's in grad school or something. He's like, I was doing studies for the Kolinar. He's like, then I got real horny. The Ponfar happened.
I got real horny.
He's like, 6 years in, I had to fuck or die. And I met my wife.
Yeah, I took a mate. We started a family.
Yeah. And, you know, my dude, you can Kolinar with a mate if you want. But he's like, no, we had kids instead. Yeah. And having kids made me reconsider, like, my parents' attitudes about wanting me to join Starfleet and my own attitudes about sort of closing myself off. And I'm like, I need to expand my horizons.
I am interested in the universe. And you know what? I can get there on Star Trek.
Yeah. He's like, I can see what they were getting at. I just didn't get it at the time. So I rejoined. Yeah, it was great. And then I'm here. You know, we met. I did undercover work. And, you know, he doesn't say all that, but yeah, he came back and she's like, I'm really glad you had a change of heart. And he says, I am too.
No, he says, I don't know what heart was involved.
Right. No, but here's the thing. She says, I'm glad you had a change of heart. And he leads with, I am too. But I think it was, and he's like, it was a logical decision, not a heart-based one. But he does agree initially. And it's like, yeah, he is glad. Like, and if you did the Kolinar, buddy, you wouldn't be glad. You wouldn't have that emotion. Listen, do what you must, but I do not hold truck with the Kolinar. Seems unhealthy.
Mm.
Then, back on the bridge.
Well, no, then we go to red alert, all hands on deck. So everybody gets up.
So we're back at the bridge.
Yeah.
And
because of red alert.
All right, fine. We've run into a Klingon ship.
Yeah. Guess who's the captain?
It's Kang.
It's Kang.
Who we last saw, / have only seen so far in the order we do this thing, in Blood Oath. But he is a TOS Klingon. Yeah, I don't know if this is the same actor or not.
Space Nine's where we saw him. He sounded like he was the same actor.
I was going to say, he sounded the same, and he probably is, especially considering he's like not moving around that much, because, I mean, he's an old man. as you and I know, as the viewers of Blood Oath know, he does not survive the episode Blood Oath. But it's cool to see Kang again. Mm-hmm. And I think they have a fun little bit because We have not seen the TOS episode with Kang in it yet, but Kang and the crew have to hang out, like, a lot in their episode. Like, they are stuck together on a ship. So I think it makes sense for him to be the one who's like, oh, Sulu, they've finally given you the captaincy you so deserve. Don't throw it away. Because it's both like, oh, cool, good for you, and I'll fucking kill you. And Sulu's like, hey, Kang, buddy, we got lost.
Yeah. Oh, but let us help you find your way back. And he goes,
no, we're good.
No, I insist. Oh, okay. We would really like an escort, come to think of it.
Yeah. But it's very much like, oh, my old friend and sometimes enemy.
my frenemy.
my old frenemy. I like the episode with Kang in it. I'm excited to get there. And then on the way out, they realize, it's like, wait, what's in that cloud? And it's like, oh, it's got some ceruleum in it. It's like, we could light it up. We could set that cloud on fire.
Yeah.
And Sulu does check.
Yes, thank you.
That it wouldn't. He's like, would it, like, just, you know, what would it do to their shields? Like, what would it do to them? And it's like, they'd be disabled for a few moments.
Yeah, a few seconds. They wouldn't
get hurt. And it's like, great, perfect. I have no interest in exploding my old friend Kang.
Yeah, that was nice.
I just want to get to Kronos. Yeah.
Mr. Tuvok, light the match.
And he does, like, you know, Tuvok's not like, I think the rules say we shouldn't. He follows orders. So he does it. They disable Kang. They fly around. But more Klingon ships show up.
Yeah, but three more Klingon cruisers are on an intercept course. And then I wrote down, Kaboomba!
Yeah.
And guess what? Mr. Voltaire.
Yeah, Dimitri.
There's
like an energy buildup, plasma buildup behind your conduit. Get the fuck away from there.
Get away from that station. One more second. Dimitri, you must. Boom.
Yeah, and he explodes.
So
Tuvok runs
over. We've heard that now, although we heard more of it today, this time.
Tuvok runs over, and Janeway runs with him. And this guy's got burns all over his face, and he manages to say Tuvok, and then he fucking dies. Mm-hmm. And this triggers the dropping a kid off a cliff. Tuvok, no! And Janeway's seeing it, is this the point where it shifts a little bit? Do we see someone other than Tuvok dropping this kid off a cliff?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But they're in sick bay.
And we cut back, and the doctor's like, well, their brains are doing bad in there.
Their neural patterns appear to be locked together. I can't break the meld. At this rate, he'll be brain dead in 20 minutes, because now the damage is accelerating because of whatever's happening.
Right. And
then Tuvok senses it, too. He says, something's gone wrong with the meld.
Right.
Because there was a ripple in their time, like you said. And Sulu suddenly, who the hell are you? Intruder alert. Get security up here.
Right. So he can see her. Suddenly. Do you want to guess how many minutes are left in this episode of Star Trek?
Seven.
Correct. There are 7 minutes left. If you were going to do the thing where the past can see Janeway, I think it should have happened way earlier than this, because it means nothing at this point. She also doesn't talk to Sulu. Like, we come back from commercial, he's like, who are you? What are you doing here? And she ignores him. Yeah. She ignores him. Mm-hmm. Like, if she talks to him, she'll change the course of history, which she won't. She's in Tuvok's brain.
Oh, good point.
Say whatever you want to Sulu. But she doesn't even exchange one word with him. And it's like, well, then what are we doing? And, my note says he has to go back to his job, to having a job without any answers. Because he asked her, 6 questions. She's just like, why can they see me? What's going on? And he's like, excuse me. And then it's like, sir, Klingons are still attacking. And he's like, fine, I guess I'll captain.
And then when the security team gets there, he says, take both of them away. Take both of them to the brig or wherever.
Yeah. And she's like, all right. Well, clearly your bunkmate dying was the thing. We got to do that again. But if they can see me, that's bad. So we have to make me inconspicuous so that we can let the memory play out without me not talking to Sulu. So they jump back to when Tuvok was making the tea and they end up stealing Rand, like Vulcan pinched Rand and steal her uniform. Which I think, and this is like the last we see of her in this episode. I'm like, that's kind of, that's an indignity, I think. Well, that's not cool.
She's got no clothes now.
Yeah. And Jane was like, we could have just asked. And Tufa's like, well, I don't know why I'm having to tell you that you can't just ask women for their clothing at work. Seems pretty obvious. Anyway, that's a wrap on Rand by Rand. And so they go back to the memory and it's like, where's Rand? It's like, I don't know. And no one's like, well, who's this lady? Doesn't matter. Well, also, on the ship, she's not doing a job.
Back on Voyager, the Doctor and Kes are making some kind of progress.
They're trying to, they're blasting Tuvok's brain with something to stabilize it a little bit.
Yeah, something normal.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, there's a third memory engram in here. That's not possible. They're not a third person in that mind meld. And it's like, oh, well, it seems like whatever we just blasted his brain with is killing it. Let's keep thank goodness the thing we just blasted his brain with is what we needed to do.
Yeah, something is masquerading as a virus. A virus? Yeah. So that, hit it with some thorium radiation. Should destroy it. Back in the battle. Get away from that station.
Dimitri fucking bites it again.
One more second. Dimitri, you must. Boom. Help me, Tuvok. And Catherine says, I saw her. And then we see, help me, Catherine. And then we see, help me, Tuvok. And help me, Dimitri. And then 5 other people. All drop this little girl.
Yeah, and it's like going back in time. We see a caveman child drop this kid. Very fucking funny. the virus then is like, oh no, can't be in Tuvok's brain. Go to Janeway's brain.
Yep, that's why she sees it now. Yep.
Fucking blast her brain too.
Yep.
So they do, and yes, we see this kid drop 17 times in a row, and a caveman did it.
I can see why that would make you laugh, yes.
And an Egyptian pharaoh did it, and Christopher Columbus, the evil man, did it, and Neil Armstrong did it, and she's going, no, it's very funny. Anyway, the virus is dead now. We come back, and everything's fine. Yep. Tuvok's brain is fine.
They both wake up. It was a parasite.
Yeah, they do a whole fucking song and dance about it, and it's like, we don't know, it's not in any books, but we killed it. It's been around forever.
What about the Prime Directive? We were supposed to kill that virus?
Yeah, was it a person? We don't know. Fuck that guy. We're more interested in, did that kid ever exist? And it's like, well, a caveman dropped her off a cliff, so maybe, but probably not at that point. And the Doctor's like, well, what is memory anyway? And it's like, shut up, we have 2 minutes left. We have to talk about TOS again. Goodbye.
So yeah, when a host was dying, it would jump to the next host. So that's why when Tuvok was almost gone, it jumped to Janeway. And then with them killing it, they were able to all see everything. And so then afterward, Janeway's to Tuvok. Oh, so tell us, you know, did Captain Kirk...
Did Sulu save those guys?
Did the, and he's like, no. Excelsior get to those two guys?
He's like, what, you haven't seen the movie? No, they didn't save those guys.
As usual, Captain Kirk provided his own means of escape.
Yeah, it's, you gotta go see the film. But it's like, well, they helped later. We showed up later and we were helpful. And then I quit. And Jane was like, oh, I kind of always wished to fucking ride roughshod with those old scientists, as the kids might say. And Tuvok's like, yeah, I didn't like it at the time, but in retrospect, I'm glad I did it. And Jane was like, maybe after today, I feel like kind of I did it too. And he's like, well, you can feel nostalgia for both of us. And then the episode is over.
The end.
What was that?
What?
The episode.
What was that episode?
What was it?
It was to celebrate the 35th anniversary of Star Trek.
Was it?
That's what I mean.
It was, but
do you remember my last review? Strange episode, lots of dream sequences. This one says strange episode, lots of relived memories,
lots of dropping a kid.
I should have wrote that.
Lots of kid drop.
I have to agree, Kelly. What was that?
What was that? Did we like TOS? This is a very strange episode to me.
Well, that's what I wrote down. Good.
The brain virus feels like it was a different episode that they like got stuck on or halfway through writing. They're like, oh, P.S. We got to do something for the 35th. They're like, ah, fuck. Shit. What if it happened on the Excelsior? And everyone's like, great, print it.
Wow.
And then they looked around the room. They're like, does any of us like TOS? And everyone goes kind of, eh, I don't know. Weren't those guys kind of pricks? And they're like, yeah, write that in there. Who cares? Like, I think I said last week, I thought this episode is fine. I do. Like, I think it's fine. I think there are fun parts about it. But it's a weird mishmash. It doesn't feel like it was very well thought out to me, I guess, is how I would characterize it. What did you think of Flashback?
No, I would agree with that. And yeah, when Sulu wasn't acting very captain-y to me either.
Well, he's also kind of barely in it.
Yeah. No, it was, that all felt really weird.
Yeah.
That didn't get pulled off very well, is what I'll say.
No, I think, yeah, I just, so much of the time is spent on the cliff.
Yes, too much.
Which doesn't end up mattering.
Yeah.
It does matter, but it doesn't have anything to do with the Excelsior, except that's where I picked it up.
Right.
So I kind of feel like they should have done something different. Like, Tuvok could be having different brain problems and you got to go back to the Excelsior. And then maybe halfway through the episode, the brain problems get bad enough that Sulu can see you. And then maybe you can get into the fact that you're in a memory and maybe he can help you out. Like, memory Sulu can help solve the problem and like be a character.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Yeah. It'd be a fun.
Wow. Kelly, why don't you do this for a living?
Why don't I write television for a living? Well, it's a hard business to break into. Mm. And as I've often said, I think I would have done a great job writing TV in like the 90s, and TV doesn't work like that anymore. I don't think I'd be as good today, because I'd be like, let's do this thing that would have worked in the 90s.
Yeah.
From some genre television, and I would be fired and run out of Hollywood.
Okay.
If they hadn't already done it, because they hate paying people.
All right. Well, that's a legit reason then. Thank you.
Yeah. Listen, I appreciate your vote of confidence, and I do feel like I've watched enough 90s genre television of this ilk that I'd be good at it. I think I'd be good.
Yeah.
But they don't write it like this, so. Mm. Bastards. Like, maybe I could get on Strange New Worlds. They are bastards. I would get thrown out of that writer's room as soon as the Gorn got brought
up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would.
Because I'd flip a table over and they'd be like, God, they're dangerous. Get them out of here. That table was big. And I'd be like, that's the size of my Gorn feelings, fuckers. And they'd be like, you're fired. I'm like, that's fair. That was not very professional of me.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, again, not this episode, I don't think. But like in the 90s, a lot of Star Trek episodes, like, people would write scripts and just, like, send them in. There are a ton of episodes that are, like, I mean, they would get massaged by the writers.
Yeah.
But they would just, like, send in scripts. Just, like, here's, I don't know, here's the slush pile. This is what Rando sent us. Probably most of it's not very good. But enough of it's like, oh, yeah, we can do something with this. Obviously, they don't do that anymore. But, yeah, I don't know. This episode could have been better, is, I guess, is what I have to say.
Me too. I agree.
I even think, even if they didn't change, like, the structure, if they just weren't so weird about TOS, like, the way they talk about it, that would help. Like, that's a subtle fix. You don't have to rewrite the whole thing, just that one scene.
Yeah, because, yeah, you guys are so pure out here.
Yeah, which they're, like, the whole point of the show is that, no, you're not.
Right.
Like,
boy, you're talking a good game, but you ain't living it.
Yeah, the thing about people strictly following the Prime Directive all the time and doing everything right and by the rules all the time is that it wouldn't be very interesting television.
Correct.
Like, writing stories is one of the things that the rules are meant to be broken is like, made for. Like, you know what's a interesting or dramatic piece of fiction? Break the fucking rules. Much like last week, you know what's not that interesting? Electing someone to Kai who doesn't suck shit. And then you just, like, have a normal working relationship. That's not good TV. You need an evil lady in there.
You're right.
To up the stakes. Elect Seska as Kai is what I'm saying next.
Oh, gosh.
R.I.P. Seska, you would have been a terrible Kai.
Yes, you would have been.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, this is fine. I'm not mad at this. But especially in the fact that, like, in the same week, you could have watched Trials and Tribulations, the Deep Space Nine episode celebrating the 35th anniversary of Star Trek, which is incredible. That's the one where they go back into the trouble with Tribbles and, like, interact with the video footage.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because of time travel shenanigans. That episode, fucking great. This episode, really, like, if they aired, like, you know, Wednesday night, Thursday night or whatever, I don't know what the schedule was, this thing would have looked real bad in comparison.
Oh, yeah.
People would have been angry. Maybe they were. I don't know. But here, now, by itself, it's like, oh, that's fine. Mostly, I hope it gets you excited for Undiscovered Country whenever we get there.
Oh, yeah.
Which will be a while. But it'll be worth it. I'll cry through the end of it.
Yep, that's fine.
Yeah, I know.
I'll cry through other parts of it. How's that?
Sure, if you want. That's the movie where, because it was on the Wednesday. They were both on Wednesday?
No, this one was on Wednesday.
When was Deep Space Nine?
Okay, what was the episode?
Trials and Tribulations.
Okay, I guess I can just look up any Deep Space Nine, right?
Well, I don't know. They probably moved around the schedule. I'm imagining they aired in the same week because of the anniversary. But I guess I don't know.
Okay. I see your point, though. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I can't think that fast. So
that's fine. I can tweet it later.
We're just going to let it go. Well, if you're going to tweet something, tweet the little thing he's working on.
the meditation blocks. Yeah. I'll see if I can find them.
Yes, I am in control.
I do think that's a fun concept. I don't know if those things ever come back. But
yeah, it was a fun concept. That was great. Yeah, those are the size, you know, they're bigger than your hand.
Yeah, but like that scene and like the scene with Chakotay. Like, there's not enough going on in them, I don't think. It's just a lot of, like, treading water, and then Sulu shows up. Just shift it around a little bit, you guys. Or write two separate episodes, which is what I think you wanted to do. Just, that's the vibe I'm getting.
Oh, and they wouldn't let him do it?
I don't know that for sure. No idea. But that is just how it feels.
Well, back in 1994, the one we just watched, The Collaborator, that was on a Monday.
Okay. So it might have been like a Monday, Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. There's a website that has air dates just for every episode.
I don't know. I get them from somewhere. Hopefully they're accurate.
Well, it's just like a long list. And it's like color-coded because when we were going through watching, we did watch them like as they aired. So like we watched TNG and Deep Space Nine overlapping and then Deep Space Nine and Voyager overlapping.
Oh, okay.
And then eventually Voyager ends and it's just the one show again. Yeah. You know, we had fun.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say about Flashback?
No. No, all right, it was strange. Help me, too. Help me, Callie. Help me.
No.
Don't drop me, Callie.
No. Like, in the
she
lava.
She looked like Alice in Wonderland, you know?
She, like, falls in lava. I gotta be able to find a gift for that kid falling. Very funny. Next time, we're talking about Enterprise. Season 2, episode 18.
Boy, it's you want to talk about some Prime Directive breaking motherfuckers. Here we go.
Enterprise.
I'm sorry, The Crossing?
The Crossing.
I was talking over you.
You're fine. And let me tell you, I think, well, I'll save it. I'll try to remember this joke for next week. Right, I don't want to spoil anything.
Kelly has a joke.
Oh boy, I can't wait to be confronted with that in a week and be like, I don't know what I was going to say. I never have anything smart to say.
Oh, stop.
I never tell jokes.
Yeah, right.
Vulcans don't have senses of humor and neither do I. Yeah. So well, The Crossing.
I don't know. Can you talk about Vulcans having a sense of humor when Spock was half human? But I guess, yeah, we can look at Sarek. He was ha 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 some of the times. So.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think.
I take it all back.
Yeah. I mean, again, you're right. Spock is not, a typical Vulcan, but he was sense of humor for days. He told so many jokes. He was so sarcastic.
We just love him.
And I realize we do just love him. I realize it's not canon, but that one, the Vulcan Academy murders, remember the part where Sarek, like, tells a joke during one of his lectures?
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's
yeah.
like, I'm very uncomfortable by that. And he's like, right, I forgot. These motherfuckers don't like jokes.
These losers.
Heaven forbid I tell one slight joke. Jesus, fine, all right, computers. I'm an ambassador, by the way. I'm teaching computers.
Yeah, I should be able to do whatever the fuck I want, and you guys should just deal with it.
I should be ambassadoring? What am I doing here? Why am I... I'm not teaching diplomacy at this school. We're all good at everything. It's the future.
There you go. Sounds
good.
So
yeah, next time, The Crossing.
Okay.
Until then, engage.
Ooh. Bye, Kelly. Happy 35th Star Trek episode anniversary, everyone.
That's right. Can't wait to wish everyone a happy 35th anniversary of the television show Star Trek again. Because we'll get to.
All right. Excellent.